Okay, Ray Tierney. Listen, if you have not heard the name Ray Tierney yet, I'd advise you to pay a little more attention. His name has certainly been out there. Listen, this is the highlight race coming up in 11 days, without question. Very important post, District Attorney, Suffolk County. The aforementioned Ray Tierney, nice enough to give us a couple of minutes on a busy one for him, I am sure. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. You know, your name has been out there. You know, I mean, listen, we talk about all the races. Well, you know, we have broken them down, continue to do so in the next 10 or 11 days, Ray. But certainly, you know, when it comes to the races, DA, you know, you got DA races, both counties important, but your race in particular, when did you start to kind of notice the intensified nature of it all regarding this very important post?
Well, you know, I think it was sort of a slow buildup that wasn't so slow, I guess. That makes any sense. I think, you know, so when I decided to run, that was in March. You know, I got the opportunity, and, you know, because I'm not a member of either political party, I had to introduce myself to just about everybody. So I went out, I was introducing myself, I was trying to raise money, and I was, at first, you know, people were like, who is this guy? And then once they got to know me, once they got to see my record, and I think most importantly of all, once they realized what the heck is going on, you know, locally, statewide, and nationally, they really got enthusiastic. So it started kind of slow in March, but it picked up from there. And now, you know, it's reached a fever pitch. I'm getting about 3-4 hours of sleep a night, and it's, I feel it's too much. I want to get out there. I just want to get out there. I want to talk with people. I want to get going. You know, I want to do this, and I can't wait till I become district attorney, because we have so much work to do, so much vitally important work to do.
Yeah. What do you think? Now, I've seen you and your opponent, you know, kind of go at it. What has been at the top of the charts as far as what people want to know? The concern. I mean, obviously, we know the importance of a district attorney and the role they play as far as enforcing laws and whatnot. Ray, what do you see the number one concern on the minds of the residents?
I think basically it's safety, and regarding safety, it's, you know, we're being gaslit. We're being gaslit by our local leaders, by our state leaders, and by our national leaders. They tell us everything is great and it's never been better, and of course that's not the case. And when it comes to public safety, we're much less safe than we were just 4 years ago, and they're not saying that, and they're hiding it from us. They tell us, you know, Justin Smith causes the overdose death on August 19th. You know, 3 weeks later, he's out of jail. Oh, he's not responsible for this. Well, you had a press conference. You said Justin Smith was responsible for it. Now, Justin Smith, the individual who provided the fentanyl-laced cocaine, he's out on bail. You need to own that. Stop making excuses.
Yeah, you know, the lack of transparency is, you know, kind of a common denominator these days. We don't have transparency, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this, Jay. When I become DA, be prepared for your crime statistics to rise, because I'm going to honestly report them. Because that's the first thing that you have to do, because what's happening now is they're hiding the stats so they can pretend as though they're doing a good job, even with the hiding, the stats are still up. And that only protects politicians and criminals. I have no interest in that. If you look at the crime stats between what the gang investigators are saying and what the official stats are, the difference is startling.
Ray Tierney's with us. He'll be on the Republican Conservative Alliance, folks, come November the 2nd, District Attorney, Suffolk County. Don't forget, early voting starts tomorrow. Okay, so you got 8 days. There's no excuses. Get out and cast a vote. Very important stuff here. You know, you brought up a guy that has been the template for sheer frustration and anger. and that's this Justin K. Smith guy. And Ray, I've been talking about this forever, okay? The 9 overdoses, 6 deaths. I think I have the numbers right. I mean, that's how emblazoned in my head this thing is, okay? It happened from August 5th through the 13th. You know, listen, maybe we live, eat, and breathe it a little bit more because of what we do here at the station. But in essence, it's an eye-opener. Because when you have a couple of felonies against a guy and you have a chance for a third one, which, folks, that puts somebody away for a long, long time, okay? When you have an opportunity to do that with the likes of this Justin K. Smith, and you don't do it, you let him off the hook, and look what happens. He goes out and maims again, okay? Maims again, the drugs, the fentanyl, and everything else, okay? That's what occurred here. An egregious error. Egregious. That's what amplifies the need, as far as my estimation, change. Now, we know we got the bail reform nonsense, criminal justice reforms in general. But when you look at the actions of an individual, when they have the chance because of their power, and tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong, okay? When you have the chance to corral an individual from never doing this type of stuff again and you let them out, this is what happens, and look what happens. Now, I cite three guys. I cite the Smith guy, McCrayton, whose first name I forget, and this Darren Mansfield case, okay? Yeah. These are all highlight-type cases of when you could have put your stamp on things, and you didn't, and you let them go out only to create the mess they created again. Am I off on anything I
said? No, the only thing you're off on, Jay, is it goes way more, goes way further than those three individuals. But, I mean, Darren Mansfield, you have two bites out of the apple. He strangles a girl, and he possesses a weapon on two separate occasions. Each of those are violent cases. If you indict the case, you could ask for bail and keep him in. If you indicted him on the first case, and then when he got arrested, indicted him on the second one and asked for bail revocation on the first one, he stays in. They don't do that, and surprise, surprise, he strangles a second girl, and this time he murders her. It's just unbelievably, irresponsible. You could go, like, Jordan Randolph. Jordan Randolph is the guy back in
2021. The template.
He had 3 prior DUIs. He gets arrested for 4. He says, I'm going to be out tomorrow. He's on bail in Nassau for a DUI. He's in violation of his bail or his probation. And they don't seek to revoke his bail, which they could have, which the experts in New State said he could have. He gets out and he gets involved in, he gets drunk again. He gets involved in a fatal accident. This time somebody dies. Incompetence matters, Jay. Inaction matters. And my entire life, I've acted. I've been bold. When it was appropriate, I moved to protect the citizens of this county and Long Island, and I will continue to do that.
Listen, you brought up a guy, and I've been using that guy's name as a poster boy, okay? The template of what is wrong with the freaking system. I've said this all along. Who can forget when that 28-year-old was killed because of the likes of Jordan Randolph on the William Floyd, Ray Tierney, on a Sunday morning?
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened just 2 days ago. 20-year-old man lost his life as a result of a motor vehicle accident. Do you know that one?
Talk to me. Tell us.
So that's
refresh the memory.
This is new. Nobody knows about this. And of course, there will not be a flashy press conference regarding this one. But Terry Asher Smith and Robert Hengeville, these are individuals who they go around in parking lots and they wait for women who are, when they're putting their groceries away, they leave their bag in the grocery cart. They drive up in a car really fast and they snatch the bag. Now that's a grand larceny, or a criminal possession of stolen property. Those are felonies. Those are not bail eligible. So they would automatically get out. But what happened is Terry Asher Smith and Robert Hengeville did this over and over again. So from July of 21, they had five of these cases pending, all felonies, none of which were indicted. So now the trick is, Jay, in our bail reform law, is you indict those cases and then you keep them in. Because what you do is you ask for bail revocation. You don't ask for bail on the new cases. You ask for bail revocation on the old ones. So they have five grand larcenies open. They commit another bunch of these things on September 22nd. On July of 21, they get caught by the police. A chase ensues. They get into a car accident. They get arrested. They get put back in jail. They get charged with two more grand larcenies. They never get indicted. They get out. And then two nights ago, they do the same thing. Another chase ensues. This time, there's a motor vehicle accident, and a 20-year-old young man loses his life. It's not rocket science, Jay. This is a very simple case. It's a very dangerous thing to steal somebody's pocketbook from a car, from a vehicle in a busy parking lot. That's dangerous in and of itself. They already had one car crash. That's incredibly dangerous. So they don't do anything. They don't take action. They don't seek to revoke his bail. They don't indict him. And then this second accident occurs, which results in the death of a 20-year-old, and they throw up their hands and they say there's nothing they could do. Well, there is something you could do. You could act. You could be bold. And, you know, it's unbelievable that none of this stuff is happening.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, I've talked about this for years. You know, I've talked about cop killers, you know, like the Herman Bells of the world. You know who I'm talking
sure.
about, right?
You know, absolutely, yeah.
Joe's Pasentino. Yeah, yep. back in the 70s, where that poor cop begged for his life, family man, kids, the whole thing.
Yeah, Joseph Piagetini and Waverly Jones were the victims of that.
Yeah, it's stuff like that makes me sick to my stomach. Is bail reform, criminal justice reform? Listen, I've said three things. And, you know, you're right. It's not rocket science. It's common sense. Okay? It's common sense to have a judge do his job. Okay? Give them their discretionary powers back. We're talking public safety here. Okay?
Yeah.
Also, the geniuses who came up about the rapid disclosure stuff, Ray Tanning, let's reverse that. The presumption of rapid disclosure, and I'm talking about victim and witness information, okay? Names and identifying information should be redacted until these defense attorneys make the case why they need to know at the start of the process, rather than in the weeks leading up to a trial. Been talking about this forever. And, of course, the last one is the slashing of the new discovery, and you know this better than anyone, it leads to a level you must let these crime labs and prosecutors manage in a timely manner. We can't let defense attorneys game the system. They are now because they gum up the works until the prosecution gives in. And these are things I've been talking about for years. For years. It's common sense. And look what has happened to our society because of this nonsense. It's unreal.
If you look at, you know, the so-called criminal justice reform, you know, you've got all those things you said, along with bail reform, but you have the less is more with, you know, no parole revocation. You have work release reform, where they're proposing having people convicted of terrorism get out early and then get engaged in a work release program. You have the clean slate law, where, you know, within 3 to 7 years, a criminal defendant's entire file gets expunged, including fingerprints and DNA. That's the blueprint for solving unsolved violent crimes. Automatic eligibility at parole at 55. Changing the burden of parole, where the parole board has to establish that the parolee will commit a crime. That's basically an impossible standard. So all of these things are designed to burden the system and to put all the onus on the prosecutors. The prosecutors have a tremendous burden, more so than ever. That's why, more so than ever, you need a competent prosecution. And you can't retreat in the face of these laws. You must go full steam ahead. And that's why when I become district attorney, I'm going to take all of the resources of the office, and I'm going to dedicate them to the courtroom stuff. We are going to comply with these onerous requirements, and we're going to say, here you go. Here's your information. We've applied for a protective order, so you're not getting the victim's names, but you got everything else. Let's go to trial. Let's do this. Let's move these cases.
Yeah. You know, I look at the previous governor. I look at the legislature. They just completely broke into the criminal justice system of this state. You got to listen. They got to figure this out and restore the balance, and they got to do it quick. And I've said all along, you know, we're not talking about minor tweaks here, folks. Okay, we're not talking about that anymore. They are not remotely enough here. Every aspect of these laws needs examination, and I am talking about the full input of guys like Rhea Tierney. Okay, full input. Of the DAs, police departments, other law enforcement agencies. That's the only way we are going to fix this system. It is broken beyond belief. Broken.
Well, I can tell you, Jay, that, you know, with regard to bail reform, you know, my opponent's party is the party of bail reform. And he claims that during the time that bail reform was occurring, he had a seat at the table. And I told him that, well, if that's true and you had a seat at the table, you should have flipped that table over, because any mildly competent prosecutor would know the bail reform as proposed was a complete and total disaster. And I'll tell you another thing, Jay, if it wasn't for what people don't realize is when that law was initially enacted, that's when COVID hit. And so the governor, froze a lot of the requirements as far as discovery under the criminal procedure law. If that hadn't occurred, Jay, because they made that law, they enacted that law and they made it retroactive to apply to every single case that a DA's office had. If that had occurred and COVID wasn't there to freeze those requirements, you would have had DA's offices dismissing thousands of cases in mock. It would have been a complete and total disaster. Not even worse than of a disaster than it turned out.
I don't know where we've gone as a society. Even this Rikers Island dismissal of the 193 inmates. How many are back in within hours? Nine? Big time offenses?
The funny thing about that, Jay, is they don't provide Rikers Island with the funding and the assistance to do their job properly, and then when it crumbles, they say the only thing we could do is let these criminals out, and then they say, but don't worry, they're all nonviolent, and then you find out that one of the guys who got out, killed somebody with a hatchet. So, you know, again, we are being gaslit by our leaders. They are not telling us the truth, and that's why we need an informed electorate. And my best friend is an informed electorate, because if the voter educates themselves to this race and to my qualifications as opposed to my opponent's qualifications, I get that vote every time.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Rhea Tierney with us again. Look for him on the Republican and the conservative lines. And by the way, early voting, like I've been telling you all morning for a couple of days, it is starting tomorrow. Okay. That goes right up to Halloween, a week from Sunday. And then of course you have, 11-2, Tuesday, election day. And let's be real here. Okay. And I'll say this, you can't be, for it and then against it. You know, you can't flip flop. Okay. And that's what happened here as far as, the opponent, a raised opponent here in this race. You know, you can't say one thing and then you can't say another thing a couple of years later because you're getting a lot of backlash and everything else. This is the most passionate subject out there because it involves safety. Okay, lives are being lost. Lives are being lost. You're letting people back on the street. Now, the biggest thing here is a DA has a very important job. Very important job. You cannot let dangerous people out on the street. And that's the biggest thing. And we cited you examples already. And listen, it is what it is. Ray, we will follow your trek as we get down. Can you believe we are 11 out now, 11 days out? I mean, and there is still a lot of work to be done, I would imagine, in your kit.
I love it. There's a ton of work to be done. 11 days left. I am going to continue to work. I am going to continue to go. I'm not going to stop. We're going to sprint through the finish, and I will be the next DA.
Ray Tierney, you hit it. You heard it. Sir, good luck with everything. I'm sure we'll talk to you prior to the big day.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jay. Talk to you soon.